These are the voices and sounds of history. When the world was young, men depicted the story of their conflicts and triumphs on the walls of caves. Later came the printed word. Now we bring you a chronicle of sound, a sound history of our times. Washington, April 1949, and the voice of Harry S. Truman, President of the United States of America.
In this treaty, we seek to establish freedom from aggression and from the use of force in the North Atlantic community.
In Washington, the foreign ministers of 12 free nations were signing the North Atlantic Pact.
It is a simple document, but if it had have existed in 1914 and in 1939, I believe it would have prevented the acts of aggression which led to two world wars.
If it had existed then. Come back to London. On an evening in January 1934, and to the voice of H.G. Wells, prophet of the atomic age, prophet of things to come.
A sort of spasm of nationalism has contracted men's minds. The answer to Whither Britain amounts practically to this: drifting with the rest of mankind towards catastrophe.
To the helm of that drifting ship came first a Scotsman, Prime Minister Ramsay MacDonald.
Peace is the supreme need of the time.
MacDonald flirted with peace. In 1935, his successor, Stanley Baldwin, pursued her with heavy English platitudes.
We shall persist in our attempts to promote peace and disarmament. And I believe that ultimately we shall succeed.
That same year, Britain's well-loved monarch, George V, celebrated the 25th year of his reign and voiced his people's hopes in the first broadcast ever made from Britain's Parliament.
And I pray that we may continue to pursue the cause of freedom and progress in a spirit of peace, tolerance, and understanding.
But while the leaders of democracy talked peace, the dictators of Germany and Italy prepared for war. In 1935, Benito Mussolini mobilized his misguided nation for a savage assault on Abyssinia.
20 milioni a un cuore solo, una volontà sola, una decisione sola.
Aviation was making new conquests of space and time. Years later, men were to curse and bless the achievements of flyers such as Wiley Post, Amy Johnson, and Amelia Earhart.
My flying was done entirely in the cockpit. That is, I depended on instruments alone to tell me the position of my plane in space.
In 1937, the dirigible Hindenburg crossed the Atlantic in less than 48 hours. As the massive airship loomed over its mooring post at Lakehurst, New Jersey, men's faith in these craft seemed to be vindicated. Then, in a split second, came disaster. Listen now to one of the most dramatic records in the history of sound. American radio commentator Herb Morrison is watching the Hindenburg's arrival.
It's starting to rain again. The rain had slacked up a little bit. The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from... It burst into flames. Keep...
Wait, get it started, get it started. It's rising, and it's rising. It's rising terrible. Oh, my, get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast, and all the folks between us. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's rising 400 or 500 feet into the sky. It's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the passengers screaming around me. I can't even talk to people. There's pressure out there. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen.
December the 11th, 1936, and the culmination of a tremendous human drama.